You know how medicine used to be practiced by shamans and medicine men, and there were spells and there were ritual objects, and there was a lot of obscurity about medicine? I feel like we're there again in a slightly different way, but I feel like medicine has become really this impenetrable beast that, you know, mere mortals can't really access or understand. And there's a whole bunch of translators out there that tell us, you know, what to do with our healthcare. At the same time, there is a tension because medicine in this country is really, your contact with medicine is the third leading cause of death in the U.S.
You mean through infections that you get in hospitals?
Through all kinds of things, through mistakes, through infections, through side effects of procedures and drugs. These are slightly elderly data, probably from a little over a decade ago, but there's absolutely no reason to think that that has changed.
So can you talk a little bit about some of the ways that journalists mistranslate the medical news that comes out? Maybe some examples of ways that news about medicine and medical breakthroughs and research has been misinterpreted or over-exaggerated.
I think every day we hear something, right? You know, and I cite some of these examples in my book. You know, something that kills today is actually going to cure you tomorrow. And there's a lot of confusion. The most recent example I can think of that stuck with me was PSA testing. And there's been a lot about it in the medical literature, and also
this is for prostate cancer.
Prostate cancer, right? Prostate specific antigen to diagnose early prostate cancer. About 2 months ago, there was a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine that was picked up by the press. And when I looked at the headlines said stuff like PSA testing decreases prostate cancer mortality. And the next headline said PSA testing does not improve survival. And, you know, this is clearly very confusing. Now, what the paper said was that PSA testing does indeed reduce your risk of dying from prostate cancer, but it does not reduce your risk of dying from other causes within the same period of time, essentially. So these are the little nuances that get missed, I think, and people run with the headline, and they really don't quite understand, well, the men can't quite understand, should I get PSA testing? Should I not get PSA testing?
So what are things that these translators, as you say, primarily journalists, should be doing differently to make sure that the information that they get out is accurate?
Well, I think one of the big things is context. These studies don't come out in a vacuum. These studies come out within the context of other studies that have been done and a lot of information that is available to us. These studies also come out in a political context. So, you know, I think that there is a great temptation to draw definitive conclusions from a single study. And I think that, you know, there's a great temptation among journalists and lay public to draw definitive conclusions. And what we really need to understand is that the driving factor in scientific progress is uncertainty. It's not the certainty. It's the asking of the question that drives science forward and drives our understanding forward.
So how does the lay public deal with this conundrum? Because most people are not trained in science, they're not trained in medicine. All they really have is, you know, are the headlines. They could perhaps go on their own to research these studies, but it's hard to understand them even for a health journalist. So what can people do?
So I think there are a few things that people can do depending on their level of interest and their level of drive to do it. There is certainly a very strong movement emerging of e-patients. And that E stands for empowered, engaged, educated. There is even a Society for Participatory Medicine that has harnessed the power of participation in medicine. And these patients are very interested in understanding the primary information and sharing that primary information with each other and with their physicians as well. If you're not quite there, the least you can do, what you owe to yourself really, is to understand what questions to ask when speaking with your healthcare provider, with your clinician. When something is recommended to you, what are the implications? When somebody says, oh, let's get a cholesterol, let's check your cholesterol, what does that mean? What are the chances that it's going to show something that needs to be addressed? How accurate is that? How certain are we that doing something about it will do something good for me in the long run?
Is your sort of overarching concern that we're overusing the medical system because there's just too much freaking out in the research news?
Oh, yes. That is very much an overarching concern for me. There's a lot of overdiagnosis. There's a lot of overtreatment. There are estimates out there that we use quite a bit of money, about $250 billion a year, just to pay for overdiagnosis and overtreatment. And these are pretty current data, and that's probably an underestimate of how much we spend, not to mention all the morbidity, all the harm that overdiagnosis and overtreatment can do. So definitely, we're a nation of worriers, which makes sense. We have a lot of technology that can discover a lot of things. What we don't have is a good understanding of what these things mean in the context of who we are.